But give a warm River Rock welcome to Joe and Ginger Pilateri.
Thank you. Is this on? Yeah. So I'm only going to take a second, okay? He's going to be teaching today. But I asked God, I'm like, is there something you want me to share just really quick? Because I'm more of teaching the little ones that are like 3 feet tall. So what he showed me was just a silly cat analogy. And I thought, oh my gosh, are you serious? Like, that's what you showed me? Can't it be more spiritual? And so it's funny because the last song we just sang, I Am Chosen, is like, oh my gosh, like he's wrapping it all together. And then I didn't know what Joe was going to preach on, so then everything just correlated. So anyway, here's my silly cat analogy that God showed me, okay? So it's from him. So anyway, we have a cat named Milo, okay? Yeah. And Milo is the love of my life. Like, I love him so much. Joe is too, okay? But 25 years of marriage this year. So, my girls and I, well, I have two girls, if you didn't know, they're in the back, but we love this cat, okay? And he's just transformed our family, seriously, okay? Well, anyway, we love him so much, but guess who the cat chooses?
Joe.
Yes. Joe sits down in his chair, puts his hand down, the cat runs immediately and rubs up against his hand and like just adores Joe, sits in a chair with one eye open, keeping it on Joe, like he just loves Joe, right? And so my youngest, she's
so
18, and she's like, Milo, choose me, love me, pick me, you know? And she like begs the cat to love her. And I thought, oh my gosh, how many Christians do we know beg God to love them, to choose them, to help them, to heal them, to prosper them? Well, guess what? He's saying he did choose you. He's saying he did provide for you. He's saying he did give to you, and he's filled you, and he's healed you, and everything you need, it says he's pertained, everything pertaining to life and godliness, he's already put on the inside of you. So God showed me that to deliver to you guys today, and then we sang that song, You Are Chosen, and he's choosing you.
Thanks, James.
I appreciate that. Hi. So why don't we go ahead and pray, right? Because quite frankly, you don't need to hear from me. What you need to hear is from the Holy Spirit. And I prepared this message. No, I prepared a message, multiple renditions of a message over the last few weeks after Pastor asked me to preach. Friday, the Holy Spirit said, no, we're doing this. Don't you like that? Because quite frankly, you're hearing it while I'm hearing it. So it's going to be good. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity together. Holy Spirit, this is your show. This is your world. We just thank you that we give you the freedom of taking over. We give you the freedom of just speaking to your people. Speak to them in a way that I can't speak to them, right? As I say something, minister to them on different veins. We love you. We trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so we're going to go to Philippians, right? Pastor, is that where we are? No. I'm going to start off with a question. But two different questions that I want you to consider. And we're going to work our way through, and then at the end, it's rhetorical, which means you don't have to answer it to me. But what I do want you to do is answer it to your own heart. So the first question is, what physical fact proves a spiritual truth to you? What physical fact proves a spiritual truth? And the second question is, what physical fact disproves a spiritual truth to you? The reality is that we struggle as a body, not just us, right, but across the world. We struggle with this constantly, right? What does God say? Do I trust him? But I have this, so on and so forth. In 2009, I was diagnosed with cancer. I'm kind of laying a foundation, right, because I want to build my resume for my own disaster and then show you how God rescued me. So it... We were in church. We were in church all our life, partly because my mom worked at a church, and if the doors were open, we were there, right? And it was Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday. It was a Pentecostal Word of Faith, very large church, and we were active. We were very, very active. But at times when you're trying to pull something out of God's hand, right, that's tiring. It really wears you out, and over time, I don't want to say we walked away because God never walks away from us, but we certainly lived our own path, right? We walked down our own path. And in 2009, I went to the doctor, and he said, hey, you've got leukemia. And I'm like, what is that? And he was like, well, it's blood cancer. You could die, probably die. We'll pray for you. And I'm going to call. He actually said, I'm going to call my spiritual mama to come pray for you. Because back then, it was, to me, you had the super dupers that had the power of healing, and you got to seek them, right? You got to get in there. You got to get into their line. Anybody with me on this, right? You got to get into their line. I don't want the pastor's wife praying for me. I want the pastor. I don't want the associate pastor. I only want the pastor. Which line is he in? I mean, this is real, folks. I'm just being real with you. And so we started, I knew that my help could only come from the Lord. I mean, I grew up in church long enough to know I've watched God do these miraculous things and change people's lives. Some people, it was their great faith that was able to do that. And other people, well, they just got a freebie, as they would call it, right? They just got healed. We don't quite know how. But I knew that I had to find out what God said. The first thing I needed to do was to build myself on the integrity of the word, right? So as I started diving deep in there, I started reading scriptures about the incorruptible seed of the word, that God watches over his word to perform it, that his word does not return void, that God confirms his word. Now, isn't that interesting? God's telling you, he's telling us, that I will confirm my word, trust me. Amen. Just trust me. You know, in all of creation, there's only one type of creation that doesn't believe God. Can you think who that is? It's us. We're the only ones that God over and over and over says to us, I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. You can trust me. I will prove my word. I'm coming down. I'll do this. I'll do that. In creation, he spoke and things moved. I mean, the devil believes God. The demons believe God. They were all there at creation or shortly after, right? They saw the power of God. They know what God can do. They know what God has done. We're the only ones that are like, yeah, I don't really know. Yeah, Jesus said what? I'm not 100% sure. So I started diving into the word. I could quote for you, I don't want to say all because I don't want to be that guy, but the majority of healing scriptures, I could quote it. Because what was I doing? I was building my case for God. I have done this. And you don't say it that way, but you know in your heart that's how you feel. I know this. I can do this. I've done this for you. We started working with the kids at our church, partly because we had young children and we didn't trust people. But that's not the point. The point is that we started, right, every Sunday, and they gave blueberry muffins, but that's a whole different. But every Sunday, we were working, right? We were working in the house of the Lord. And not that we would say to God, I've done this, so you've got to do that. But that does creep in, right? We actually, you started paying tithe, and you started giving offering, and it's got to be 10%+, and the whole nine yards. And we actually were on a video at our church that it was, God has to prosper me because I'm a tithe payer, because I've done this. Today, looking backward, I'm like, why? But you didn't know any better, you know? And quite frankly, that's a lot of the Old Testament covenant, and God will still honor that, which is why it's a little bit confusing, I think it was to me. But then I found out, I came across that you've got to be perfect. I mean, Jesus says, be perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect. That is a pretty high standard. Would you agree? Because this is Jesus saying, be perfect. This is not Judas saying you should be perfect. This is Jesus, right? And so you need to be perfect. And I'm thinking, well, what does perfect mean to him? You know, and like Deuteronomy 28, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments, that which I've commanded you, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations. And I'm like, wait, obey the voice of the Lord your God. Everything that he says, right? But it shall come to pass if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments, that is in his statutes that I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. That's Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 15 is the blessing. You've got to do it all, And then you get blessed. Blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed. And we quote that, but that first part is kind of like that big thing that's hanging over your head. You've got to do it all. And you know that God sees all. Nothing's hidden from the Lord. And I knew me. And I knew I'm nowhere close to this. I'm just nowhere close. Because then it goes verse 16 through 68. How many even know 16 to 68 is a lot more than 1 to 15? And all those are curses. And you're going to be cursed going in and cursed going out. And you'll build a business and somebody else will enjoy it. And da, 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 da. And I said, I can't do it. I just can't do it. But I continued on because I wanted to live. I mean, I would be the kind of guy that I sat in the garage. I can remember. It was a holiday. And I'm sitting there. Remember those little Kenneth Hagin little books, like Christ the Healer books? It was blue and white. And it was like 20 little pages, but very few pictures, right? But it was very easy to read. And I can remember I would just go through it, say my scriptures, say my confession. What am I doing? I am trying to do performance-based. I am putting faith in what? Yeah, and in, yes, and in my faith, right? Mark 11, 23 and 24, if you say to this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and do not doubt in your heart, but believe those things that you say, that will come to pass. You'll have whatever you say it. And I can remember the endless confessions, the endless, I've got to change this. Am I talking to anybody here today? Right? That constant that, well, God is watching, and I don't deserve any of it. I've got to earn it. I've got to just do this and do that. And then I came across the difference between the word of and the word in. How many of you know there's a difference between of or in? There's five scriptures, five that I have found that really minister to me, four basic ones, and then revelations, which who knows what that means. But I'm sorry, pastor knows what that. Hey, I work in the kids, man. I'm in charge of the app for sounds, okay? That's what I do. But I would read it in the King James Version, and I would read it in other versions. And I was an other version guy because, quite frankly, I had no idea what King James was talking about. And when I would read it, I would read it as Philippians 3:9, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. But in the other version I was reading, it said faith in Christ. That's a work. That means I've got to do, I've got to measure, I've got to set some bar of faith and enough faith for God to say, okay, you did it. Now I can heal you, right? But this doesn't say that. It says the faith of Christ, Romans 3:22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. Galatians 2:16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Galatians 3:22. But the scripture has concluded all under sin that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. See, as I was studying the healing scriptures, prosperity, I actually avoided prosperity. I actually avoided everything else but healing because that's my focus. That was my focus. And I would see my counts, my blood counts, go up and then come down. And as they went up, what do you think I was thinking? It's not working. I got to do more. I got to do more. And as they were starting to come, by the way, down is good. Okay. And as they would come down, what am I thinking? It's working. It's working. Anybody relate? Maybe it's not cancer, but it's something, right? We all face something. The kicker is that he bought everything in one shot. So if somebody receives something by healing, it's the same format, if you would. Everybody looks for a formula, right? I've got a very close, dear person that is also walking through a cancer battle. Significantly worse diagnosis than mine, and they're in that arena of reason, if you would, right? Well, my counts are getting better, it's working. My counts are getting worse. What am I doing wrong? What's the formula? What do I have to do? And that is a very real place. And if you've ever walked through something that is very finite, very lethal, I don't care whether that is financial. I don't care whether you need friends. I don't care whether you need to know the righteousness of God. Whatever it is, it's all boils down to the same thing that I was learning. See, when Jesus on the cross, when he shouted out, "It is finished," here's what I think actually happened, right? He's hanging on that cross, right? He's got to pull up on those nails in order to breathe. So breathing for him was not just a casual thing, right? It was a purposeful, very, very finite, what's the minimum I can say so I can still breathe, so I can extend this. For him, it was so I can take more. For me, it'd be like, so I can be done quick, right? I mean, it's a completely different person, right? And he said, "It is finished." I think he was talking to three groups of people, three entities. I think he was telling his Father, "It's finished. I finished what you sent me to do. You know, you said that you are the God that heals. You said that you are the God that redeems. You said you are the God. I finished it for you. It's done." I think he was talking to all of us. It's finished. You don't have to earn anything anymore. We're free. It's over. All you have to do is receive. I have done the heavy lifting. I have done the hard part. You just simply walk in what I have done. It's a free gift. You don't feel righteous? You're not. I made you righteous. Now you are, right? You don't deserve to be healed? You don't. But I've made you righteous, so you do. It's that. He said, "I am finished." And that was for all time. There was nothing else that he had to do for our righteousness. Yes, I understand he had to go to hell. Yes, I understand he had to go put his blood on the mercy seat. But I'm saying for us, it was finished at that point. Plus, that was 2,000 years ago, so it was done. I also think he was talking to the enemy. And I think that enemy heard it as, "You're finished." Because 4,000 years before that, what happened in a garden? Right? What was the prophecy that he had in that garden? It was, the seed is going to have a bruised heel, but what's going to happen to your head? It's going to get crushed. It's going to get crushed. And then 4,000 years later, the Holy Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness to confront the devil again and say, "It's on. I'm making a declaration. I'm here, and it's over." Doesn't it talk about a strong man? When a strong man, he guards up his house, he puts on the armor, right? He feels secure. He has all this plunder. But when a stronger man comes, what does the stronger man do? He strips him of his armor, and then he plunders. To me, all that healing was part of the plundering. Wow. He was going around saying, "I have taken it back." And 3 short years later, he said, "It is finished," and the devil heard it. So let me fast forward then. I'm under the, it's by his faith. It's of faith of Jesus. And it occurred to me that if it's of his faith, right, that means my faith, let me back it up. When you're going through something like that, you're always taking a barometer of your faith level, right? You're always taking a barometer, am I in the right position to receive? And it's always that work mentality, which is so draining. It's so draining, right? Until I realized that I don't have to have this great magnanimous faith, because somebody greater than me had the faith to earn my redemption, to earn my righteousness. See, I believe, and the Bible teaches, that I think Jesus crawled to that cross, knowing full well and having the full faith and assurance that he's doing that so you could be this.
Amen.
Right? I think that he went to that whipping post, gladly going to that whipping post, knowing every stripe that they give me, every time they rip the skin off my back, every time that I'm just exposed and I'm demeaned and whatever, it is for our healing, it's for our peace, the crown of thorns. His faith. See, Jesus told me, he goes, "Don't have faith in your faith. Have the faith of my faith. Have your faith in my faith." That became easy. So do I believe that Jesus had the faith that by his stripes I was healed? And I thought, well, he went to that whipping post. I mean, didn't he tell Peter, put away your sword? I could call 72,000 angels. I mean, do you realize that one angel put 185,000 people, killed 185,000 people. He could call 72,000. What? How much destruction that he had, but how much fortitude? You know, it's worse to be a victim, right? It's worse to be a victim. But to willingly, when you have the power to stop it, continue on that path. 1 John 4:16. And we have known and believed the love God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. I want to zero in on that first. And we have known and believed. See, I knew the scripture on healing. I knew the scripture on righteousness. I knew the scripture on my redemption, but I didn't believe it. You know how I could tell I didn't believe it? How can you tell if you believe something? Hannah in the Old Testament, remember Hannah? I don't know her last name. Hannah wanted children, and she was very despondent because her husband also had another wife, and she had a bunch of children. She had a bunch of sons. And Hannah was begging God, God, this is not right. This other woman is mocking me and making me feel very bad. And the Bible says that she was at a dinner and she couldn't eat. Have you ever been where you just can't eat? You got some bad news, man, and it is just horrible and you can't eat. Has that ever happened? Uh-huh. Right? I mean, I pile through it. Right? Because, I mean, it's there. But you don't want to. You want to feel, you know. Or maybe you go the other, whatever. Come on, work with me, folks. So Hannah couldn't eat, and she's just under her breath. She's praying to God, right? And the minister looks at her, and he thinks she's drunk, right? Because she's sitting there mumbling words and whatever. And he's like, why are you drinking? You shouldn't be. Like, shame on you. She says, no. She goes, my heart is aching. My heart is crying out to God. Now, she never told him what she was saying, but he was a man of God, and in those days, they spoke what they heard God saying. And he turns to her and says, whatever you ask, God will do for you. And what do you think? How did that change her? All of a sudden, it's the Bible says her countenance lifted, right? Her countenance lifted. She could eat. She was joyful. And incidentally, a year later, she had a baby, right? But her countenance changed. Why? Because she valued what the minister said. Or if you would, the voice of God. She valued what God said. See, I knew by his stripes I was healed. But I didn't mix faith with that. Which is why I was still scared. Let me ask you a question. Let's say you owe $1 million. $1 million. That's a lot of money. I don't know, this is a pretty wealthy crowd. Let's say you owe $10 million. $10 million. And the creditors are coming, and they're like, listen, you've got to pay it. And you're thinking, how am I going to pay this? I don't have $10 million. And you come to Pastor Rick and say, Pastor, I owe $10 million. And he says, God told me to deposit $1 billion in your account. Right? $1 billion. Hey, listen, folks. Listen, $1 million is nothing. There's so much wealth in this world. And he's reserved the wealth of the wicked for who? Me. Okay, you all share, right? But he's reserved it for us. That's the only way that we're going to get the end times ushered in. We need money to do it, right? But Pastor Rick puts $1 billion in your account. You owe $10 million, right? Is that going to make you happy? Are you still scared about the $10 million? Are you still scared about losing your house? Why? Because you trust him. You believe that if he said it, he actually did it. And if it's yours, because he said there's no strings attached, then all you have to do is go and withdraw it. Is that correct? Right? But let's say you don't trust him. I mean, it kind of comes down to that, doesn't it? It's, do I actually trust when they say something that I value that? Because if I value it, you will change. You will, everything, the way that you function, the way that you feel, the way that you act will change. That is a barometer for you to determine where I'm at, right? If we have bills, I can remember, my gosh, we came to the college like almost everybody else, right? And there were some poor times in there where Ginger just told me, hey, listen, don't tell me about the bills. I don't want to know. I can stay in faith. You keep your mouth shut. Remain neutral, right? Because I would freak out. Because I'm a great man of faith and power. Oh, my gosh. How are we going to do this? This doesn't make sense. She was like, don't. She goes, I'm in a position, my heart, I can hear from God, and I've got peace. Doesn't he say he'll lead us with peace and with joy? Hannah had both peace and joy. The word was ministered to her. She could have not mixed it with faith. Would that have changed her peace and joy barometer? Of course. See, the truth is that God says he's given us, I think somebody mentioned that, you mentioned that today, that he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Is healing part of that?
Yes.
Is redemption part of that?
Yes.
Is joy, is protection, is prosperity? It's everything. He's already done it. Psalms 103:2-6. Forget not all his benefits. That he does what? He heals all your diseases. He forgives all your transgressions. It goes on further. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. You know what that means? That every time God votes, he says, innocent. Innocent. But they did it. Be innocent. My son took care of that. They're innocent. But the point is that I had to renew my mind. Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do you know one is voluntary, the other one is compensatory? To be conformed, it just happens. It just happens, right? You don't try to be conformed. You just do whatever you're doing and not going the other way. Picture it like going down a stream. You want to go down a stream, all you have to do is what? Nothing. You just sit there. You float with your floaties if you're a floaty person. If you have them on your arms, I don't judge you. It's weird. But all you do to go downstream is just float, is do nothing. And the world will conform you. And I'm not talking about, you know, drugs and alcohol and the whole nine yards. I'm talking about even worse, the world's way of thinking, the world's way of reasoning, the world's impossibility. Your mind will not lead you to God. It doesn't. Your heart does. But you have to renew your mind. So to renew your mind, what do you have to do? See, I thought I had to convince my mind. I thought, well, I'm believing my heart, but I don't kind of believe it in my head. You know, you got to have to get real with God. How do you know that God knows what you're thinking? Yeah. Right? I mean, God knows everything there is to know about you. I'm one of the few in this room that have made it easy for him to count the hairs on my head. Thank you, brother. Right? But God knows everything there is to know. I'm sorry. This may be my last time here. I'm with the kids, man. give me a break. But renewing your mind is not convincing your mind. It's not convincing, right? It's telling your mind this is the way we're going. This is the way we're going. This is the truth for us. So you shut up. This is the way we're going. So your mind is just it just goes along with it. But to be transformed, you physically have to renew it. This is where we're going. You're not trying to convince. You're taking the control of it. Faith works by love, right? Another thing I had to get past, because it was faith works by my measure of love walk. I'm Italian from New York, man. That is a tough thing to overcome. You know, I mean, most of you, if you know me, I kind of say what's on my mind. Sometimes that's good, and sometimes that's not, right? But if faith works by love, whose love is the barometer? Yeah, it's Jesus's. Can you, in any format, come close to his measure of love walk? So it must not mean that. Because the reality is faith works by my understanding of how much he loves me. Doesn't the Bible say, in this is love? Not that I've loved him, but that he has loved me. That is what it is. When you put your faith in his love for you. You know, I said this before. I think it's fantastic, actually. Ginger and I have been married for 25 years, almost 25 years come June, right? I come home every day, not because of my marriage vows and contract, right? I don't let her use my money because it's a contract and you have to do it. And we don't have that kind of a relationship. We share because we love. I was going to God, and I actually think it's kind of a dangerous spot to say, you said this, you said that, you said this. Is that a relationship of a father to a child? No. My kids take advantage of our food supply, right? They do whatever they want in our house and whatever. They don't come to me saying, you've got to let me because I'm your child. They just know I love them, so they do it. God heals us because he loves us. God, do you realize that before there was a problem, he already had redemption in mind? Amen. He already said, what was the first words of John the Baptist when he saw Jesus? Look, it's the Lamb of God slain before the foundations of the world. When God thought of man, before he thought of anything else, he thought of redemption. But again, you got to mix faith with it. I'm going to give you two examples. One is Joshua and Caleb, and the other one is David. Joshua and Caleb, they had 12 tribes, and they picked one leader out of each tribe. Everybody familiar with this? Right? And they went into the promised land. And they went to look at that, and Moses said, hey, there are certain things that I want you to see. I want you to find out. I want you to determine. I want you to bring back some fruit and whatever. So all 12 went in. And all 12 came back. And they had a bunch of grapes. And I don't know if that means the grape was this big or that was just a big bunch, right? I kind of think it's like this, but that's weird. So they went in, and then they all came back. Now, what they were starting to tell Moses and the other leaders, there was not wrong. What were they saying? Well, there's, you know, the ground is great, it's very fertile, right? Here's the fruit. There were some tribes, and they were even naming the different tribes, so on and so forth. And that, and when they pivoted, and they said, at the end, they said, we were like grasshoppers in their eyes, and here's the worst part. See, they forgot what God said. Because if you back up to verse 2, he says, I am giving to the children of Israel. I am giving this land to the children of Israel. See, back then, God didn't do a lot of verbose talking. Yes, I know in Psalms. Yes, I know in Proverbs. But he mentions it one time, and to him, it's a contract. One time, it's a covenant. One time, it's law. He doesn't have to continue. We need that. We need that. It makes our flesh feel all soft and nice, right? Like a big hug. But he doesn't need that. He speaks one time and things change. And he said, I am giving the land of Canaan to them. That was it. And it was only the two. Now, these are leaders. These are people. Remember what they just came out of. They were just in Egypt. What did God do in Egypt? He decimated them, right? Took all their riches, took all their goods, left. They pursued, and then God destroyed. He said, the people that you see today, you're not going to see them again. Don't worry about that. And he destroyed them. They saw this. Now notice, it was the people of God, 16%. Two out of ten said, hey, but there's somebody else in the mix. There's the equation's not right. If you would, there's another in the fire to consider, right? But they didn't mix it with faith. And God calls that unbelief, and he calls it an evil report. The report was for everybody, but they had the choice to believe it. They had the choice to say, no, I believe God, as compared. David and Goliath. David? What happened there? He's in the wilderness. He's taking care of the sheep, right? And the Bible says that when he was confronting Goliath, that he said, I've taken care of the lion and the bear. I trusted you in the lion and the bear. I don't believe it started with the... Have you seen a lion and a bear? I don't believe it started there. We say in the children's area all the time, I think it started with like a prairie dog and a muskrat. Or a squirrel, maybe a bird. Yeah, a rabbit. He proved God. And if you go through Psalms... And you read Psalms, what does David say over and over? Psalms 27, 1-3. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked come against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumble and fall. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Through war may arise against me, in this I will be confident. See, this is how God was teaching him, how training him. They were there with the Philistines for 40 days. Philistines were on one side of a valley. They were on the mountain here. And the Israelites were on the other. And David gets there with bread and cheese. Bread for his brothers, cheese for their boss. Just saying. That's it. A gift makes a way, right? So he went out there and he's like, hey, what's going on? And he heard him. He heard the Philistine. You know, and if you notice, and I think this is very important, right? Think about this. It helped me. I hope it helps you. Not once did David consider Goliath's kill rate. The size of his spear. His spear, the tip of his spear, was 150 pounds. This is not a weak man. His chainmail that he had was 125 pounds. He was lethal. Not one time did that matter to David. Why? Because of his covenant. Listen to me. If you get that, it'll help. Because of his covenant with God, the opposition standing in front of him did not matter. It doesn't matter if it's stage 5 cancer. It doesn't matter if I've got no money and I've got a bill. It doesn't matter if I'm in the middle of nowhere and I need protection. It all comes down to, do you know the truth? The truth will make you free. Interesting, know there, when you're talking about knowing the truth, is not a casual knowing. It's an intimate knowing. It is, you take the seed, the word of God, and you plant it inside your heart, and you allow it to germinate. But how can you tell if the word of God is germinating in your heart? You'll have peace and you'll have joy. And if you don't, you go back. And you allow your imagination, you allow your expectation to only paint the picture in your heart that the word of God says is yours. Amen. You can't be double-minded, right? The waves of the sea, right? You go up, you go down, you go up, and you go down. I've done that for years. It's brutal. Yeah. God said by his stripes I was healed, and yet the doctor said this. And you're wondering, it's still there, it's still working on you. But God said, but this, but God said, but this, but God. Until you finally one day just say, I'm done. I can't do this anymore, Lord. I just can't. You know, sometimes, not sometimes, getting real with God is the easiest thing. Maybe it's hard for some, but ultimately it's the most powerful thing you could do. To just be honest and say, I can't do it. I can't, this is too big for me. And he said, and he'll come back and say, it was never designed for it to weigh on your shoulders. It was designed to weigh on mine. Cast it on me. Let me do it. Let me do everything. Folks, he will help you with faith. He will teach you. He'll do whatever he can do to get across to you the things that he wants. I said this once in communion, and I think it's still true all the time. It's not your idea. You're not trying to convince God. He is aimlessly trying to convince you. Overall, 24 hours a day, in your sleep, he puts people in your path to speak to you. And he's saying to you, trust me. Just trust me. When they said, you're going to have a baby, she laughed. Didn't you remember? She laughed at the angel, which I think was Jesus, whatever. She laughed at whoever. And they said, why did you laugh? And she said, I didn't laugh. What are you talking about? I didn't laugh. And he says, well, you did. I mean, notice he came back and said, well, you did laugh. And she was like, okay. But you know where she also is written? She's written in Hebrews 11, in the chapter of faith. Why is she there? She laughed. She mocked. She lied. Why is she there? You know what the Bible says? Because she judged God faithful. Abraham said, if you said it, it'll happen. And then he didn't consider. See, we are always painting pictures. Your faith is always working. The place that we're at today, we believed for yesterday. It's just the way it is. Where you are today, right? Take what I'm saying. Where you are today, you saw yesterday. You allowed that imagination to paint that picture. You allowed that to become your reality. But you know how easy it is to switch that? It's just a switch. It's literally just a switch. When I was going through, I don't want to call it my cancer battle because I gave it to Jesus and it was his battle that was already won, so it was pretty simple, right? But I was healed before physically I was healed.
That's right.
You know, I felt condemned being at the college, and I was standing around people that got instantaneous healing, and I had to go through chemo, and I felt condemned. Isn't that just like the devil? Isn't that just like, look, if he can't get you to stop drinking the water, he'll poison the well, right? I felt condemned, and God said, why? It doesn't, look, wherever you are, if I've got to incrementally get things to you, I'll do it. It doesn't matter. There is no condemnation with God. There is no condemnation with God. God does not condemn us. He does not have buyer's remorse. Right? There's no buyer remorse with God. God knows exactly what he was buying, and he said, perfect. That's what I want. The devil would keep, I would keep seeing myself dead in a coffin. That's a good night's sleep. When you see yourself lying in the coffin, and I said, God, I can't do it. You could substitute yourself for lying in a coffin or getting kicked out of your house. Getting kicked out of your house or losing your kids, right? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's all an attack. And I would picture myself laying in that coffin. And I picture somebody else wearing my watches. I'm a watch guy, right? I would picture them playing with my stuff. I would picture them raising my kids. I mean, that's horrible. I would picture somebody else making my wife laugh, which I make my wife laugh, mostly at me. But I pictured that, and you know what the Lord said to me? Replace me. Replace me. Put me in the coffin. Take yourself out. Because that's what I did 2,000 years ago. You lay me in that coffin, you stand out there, and then you rejoice that you're not there. And I said, I didn't know I could do that. And he said, yes, you can. Right? A few years back, we were working summer family. And this was when COVID first started. And of course, there were kids there with COVID. And of course, we got sick. Right? And we went to Florida. And I can remember we were eating a delicious sandwich that was so salty and flavorless. Brutal. But it hit me so hard, I couldn't breathe. And I couldn't breathe. It was just, you know, that typical what you've read about for COVID. And the Holy Spirit woke me up at 2 or 3 in the morning, and he said, will you just let me heal you already? And I literally said, fine. You want to heal me? Heal me. Why? Because I gave up. It's not our job to make it happen. It's our job to just let him be God. Yes. Just submit. Just submit. I'm going to give you one last story by a guy by the name of E.W. Kenya. He was an assistant, the assistant of E.W., right? E.W., this goes back many days, guys. This is, I mean, word of faith. Come on. But he preceded Kenneth Hagin. So he's like the grandfather of faith. And they were very big on confession. They were very big on believing and walking in that, right? You do your confession. Anybody else done confessions before? Right? Let me just give you a little hint. Confessions don't heal you.
That's right.
Believing and then saying what you believe is a different story. But this guy was very sick. He contracted tuberculosis of the skin, right, which caused his nerve endings to come out. And he was in excruciating pain night and day. He would go from hallucinations to passed out. And this is his life. This is what he did. And he would, when he would come back to, he'd become lucid, he would make his confessions. By your stripes, I am healed. You took my sin. You took my iniquity. Himself took this, and then he would pass out. And he went through a series of this. And one time when he comes to, he hears the doctor telling the nurse, just make him comfortable. He doesn't have much time left. And he goes, and I got so just despondent. And I said, God, I believe you. I've said my confessions. I know the scriptures. You know, God, that I believe you. I can't do this anymore. He goes, God, I can't do it. The pain is too much. It's too much. I can't. He said, I quit. He goes, the truth is, God, in my heart, I don't believe you. I just don't believe you. I want to believe you, but I'm not there, right? The pain is too much. And I'm being honest with you, God. Can I just crawl up into your lap? And can you just hold me until this whole thing is over, and then I can come home. Can we just do that? God, this is a separate thing. I'm done. Anybody been done? I'm just done. God, just hold me. And then he passes out again. And he slept for a long time. And when he woke up, he was 100% healed. And he was mad. He was mad at God. He's like, I don't understand. I tell you, I'm confessing and I get nothing. The time I turn around and tell you I actually don't believe you and I'm done, I'm not going to try to do this anymore. I'm not following the formula. I can't do it anymore. I'm healed. How am I going to go back to the congregation and tell them that? Don't trust God and quit, right? That's what you need. And God said to him very sweetly, you know how the Holy Spirit sweetly just. And he says, son, you never believed me until you stopped trying to believe me. The day you actually believed me was the day that you said, let me crawl into your lap and snuggle into your arms and hold me tight. He said, that was the moment you stopped thinking about yourself and understood that I am God. Amen. See, faith should not be aware of itself. It's just a trust. God, you said this? Okay. The biggest miracle we ever received, how did you do it? Did you jump through a hoop? Right? Did you deserve anything besides punishment? No. We literally just said, all right, I surrender. You want me? I'm yours. You can take me, all of me. Fix me. That was the greatest miracle you ever received. The biggest thing that ever happened to you. Incidentally, that's where you got everything already inside of you. He put everything inside of you. The way that you receive healing is the same way. The Bible says the way that you received Christ Jesus, walk in him.
Amen.
You just surrender and say, fine. You want to heal me? Heal me. You want to prosper me? I'm right here. I don't deserve it, but Jesus said I do. Jesus said. See, folks, it's all about Jesus. It's always been about Jesus. It's only about Jesus. Let's just do this. We have a few seconds left. If that ministered to you, where you're trying and you're struggling and your effort, and it's all you, I gotta, and you're just done being on that roller coaster. Let's everybody stand up, actually. Let's just tell God, let's just give it to God this morning and say, Father, I'm done. It's your show. You've purchased healing for me. You've purchased redemption for me. You purchased salvation for me, and you've purchased freedom for me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We call it done in Jesus' name.
God, we believe for it.
Hey, Lord.
I believe the Lord has a corporate word, a corporate tongue.
Y ostrando oje de eshe, y edio sona y de ese de egoga. Ish tronda si de bosanda y edo boca descende. Istronda descende. Unda abochete. Istrando sota. Gistrandese.
Trust me, I'm your provider, I'm your healer.
unfamiliar with that, that's two manifestations of the Spirit. That's the gift of tongues and the interpretation of tongues. It's not a translation, but an interpretation. And so that's out of 1 Corinthians 12. There's nine manifestations of the gifts. And so if you're not familiar with that, that's what that was.
Everything that you said, I believe it. Just a few more times. We want to declare that in this place. You said.
Hey man, I just felt like there's some folks here this morning. I know Brother Joe was talking about a physical healing and faith. I think there's some here, though, you've got a broken heart. And God wants to heal that. That's just as important to him as our physical. And in fact, sometimes that can keep us from receiving our physical healing. Jesus said he came to heal who? The brokenhearted. You know, faith is not an activity. It's a surrender. Faith is surrendering to God's love. Just like that song said, he's teaching me to receive it. Receive what? Receive his love. And just like that story that he told at the end, he wants you to climb up in his lap. He wants you to let him hug you and let the Holy Ghost shed abroad the love of God in your heart. Because that's the only thing that can heal your broken heart is his love. It's good for people to come and pray for you and give you words of affirmation and all those things, but it's the love of God that's going to heal you, and he wants you to receive it right now in his name. Amen.
I feel like the Lord gave me a word for me and my husband, and I felt like it was something for someone else here too, that someone here is believing for financial provision, and they're working so hard, just driving themselves into the ground, and I feel like the Lord is saying, just do the last thing that I told you to do, and provision will come with that. And I felt like the Lord was just saying that he would be evil to give you a dream and a desire and not provide for you to do that. So just want to encourage you to just trust the Lord with that and don't work so hard and to rest in him.
So if that's you, you can be bold. I want you to lift your hands and we're going to release the grace of God that's on the inside of you already. Victory that's on the inside of you already. Why don't you release that word? That's a word of grace. That's a word of grace. That's the heart of God speaking. So release that.
Holy Spirit, I just thank you that right now, whoever it is in this room, and I believe that there could be multiple people in this room that are struggling with this, God, I just release your provision into their lives right now. I release grace over them to just accept your word in faith. And I just speak rest and peace over them right now in the name of Jesus, that provision would come to them without them working so hard, without trying so hard, that they would put their faith and their trust in you alone and not in their own works. In Jesus' name.
Let's sing that chorus one more time. You are my champion. You are